Greetings, everybody. This is Pastor Buddy. We welcome you in here tonight. It is a pleasure indeed to be in your homes or wherever that you're downloading us on your computer, your satellite, or your micro rebroadcasters. We're live tonight. This is Wednesday the 8th of May. We're going to get into some very interesting scriptures tonight as we look for a hidden people. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, we searched for the children this week, and now we're going to look for a people hidden for 2,520 years or thereabout, and we think it's time that we found them. We're going into the book to find them tonight. We believe that the scriptures will speak for itself. Now in Genesis chapter 12, beginning at verses 2, Israel is to be great, and Israel is to be mighty. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we know that that's, it just simply hadn't happened where we look for Israel at. Everybody's looking to the Middle East, into Palestine. They're looking for Israel in all the wrong places. And we're trying to help you to understand tonight that Israel is no longer in the sandbox, as we call it. Where is she? Well, in Deuteronomy 4, 7 and 8, you can read that she was to become mighty and to spread her wings. Israel had to have a seed that would scatter throughout the earth, ladies and gentlemen, to fulfill the covenant promise that Yahweh had given to them. And he said that their seed would be as the sand of the sea. Well, that ain't happened in the sandbox. It has happened in other places. And so then history and the hidden people right under the nose of the world that is blind. Now, isn't that amazing? Now, in Genesis 13 and in 24 and in 22, in 26 and 28, you'll find the seed of Israel is to be just like I told you. A lot of scriptures, we're just going to give you a few here, and then we're going to lay some groundwork, and we'll get right into the message, praise Yahweh. But I would really like for you to look at Genesis chapter 28, 14. Now 28, 14 is a very unusual text that the Father has promised Israel. And, ladies and gentlemen, if there's anything to his promises, then his promises are sure and steadfast, and they are without any error. Verse 14, and thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west. Now, isn't that interesting? That the seed would spread abroad to the west, to the east, to the north, and to the south, and in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth of Israel be blessed. And behold, I am with you, and I will keep you in all places where you go. And he just told them, just told Abraham, that his seed would become as the dust of the earth, and he would spread abroad. Abroad. Now, the word abroad means that they will cross oceans and they will come west. My. And Jacob rose up early in the morning and took the stone that he had put for his pillow and set it up for a pillar and poured oil upon it, and he called the name of that place Bethel. Bethlehem, house of El, house of Yah. Ephratah. This is in Bethlehem, Ephratah. And we've been led to believe that Christ, the promised seed, the one that would do all the inheriting here, would come out of Bethlehem, Judea, but not one scripture to substantiate that claim. Oh, my. Praise God. Well, we're in so good tonight, ladies and gentlemen. You just pull up a chair. You better get your book because we're going hunting for the hidden people of Israel. Now, we're going to 1 Kings chapter 11, and I'm going to start at verse 28. And the man, Jeroboam, was a mighty man of valor. Jeroboam was a mighty man of valor. And Solomon, seeing the young man, that he was industrious, he made him ruler over all the charge of the house of Joseph. Isn't that interesting? Here is Jeroboam, a Josephite. Solomon put him over the charge of the house of Joseph. Now, there's some interesting things that we could look at here, ladies and gentlemen, because here is the foundational verse. You need to mark it in your Bible if you are taking notes or if you are studying with Pastor Buddy tonight in the Shepherd's Call. You need to mark that one. That's a good one. He put him over all the charge of the house of Joseph. Now, if you will look at verse 30, because we're going to show you that Jeroboam went out of Jerusalem, then the prophet Ahiah, the Shemonite, found him in the way, and he had clad himself with a new garment. See, we're fixing to change the old Israel into a new Israel, a Israel that will forever be changed. Now, this is very interesting. The two were alone in the field, and Ahiah caught the new garment that was on him and rent it in 12 pieces. Well, now, ladies and gentlemen, anybody would know if they're interpreting this that represented the 12 tribes of Israel. But notice here, and he said to Jeroboam, take to yourself 10 pieces. For thus saith Yahweh, the God of Israel, behold, I will rend, take away, the kingdom out of the hand of Solomon, and will give the 10 tribes to you. Now, Joseph, he's a Josephite, and here then is Josephites becoming in charge of the 10 tribes of Israel. Notice now, but he, for the one he shall have, Solomon, shall have one tribe. But he shall have one tribe for my servant David's sake, and for Jerusalem, the city that I have chosen out of all the tribes of Israel, because they have forsaken me, and they have worshipped Ashtoreth, the goddess of the Zidonians, the Chemos, the god of the Moabites, and Milcom, the god of the children of Ammon, and have not walked in my ways to do that which is right in my eyes, and to keep my statutes, my judgments, as did David his father. Here comes punishment down the pike, ladies and gentlemen. Notice now, as I look down to verse 35, I'm in a hurry, but I will take the kingdom out of Solomon's hand, and will give it to thee, even 10 tribes. He's going to take 10 tribes away from Solomon. And so now the kingdom of Israel is divided. Judah will become one tribe. The 10 northern tribes will be the tribes that are going to leave here, ladies and gentlemen. In the 12th chapter, we find that the northern tribes, they rebel against the house of Judah. Now listen to me. But as for the children of Israel, which dwelt in the cities of Judah, Rehoboam reigned over them. And, verse 19, and so then, Israel rebelled against the house of David unto this day. And it came to pass, when all Israel heard that Jeroboam was come again, they sent and called him into the congregation and made him king over all Israel, and there was none that followed the house of David but the tribe of Judah only. Isn't that interesting, ladies and gentlemen? And you think that the Jews are God's chosen people? When you don't even know where the rest of Israel is? Or do you? Well, if you do, well, let's have some fellowship here, ladies and gentlemen. Is Pastor Buddy going to be a lone wolf here preaching the gospel? Are you ashamed of the gospel of Christ? Are you ashamed of the truth? Are you afraid someone will come and add a yoke upon you? Well, ladies and gentlemen, we find out now that Jeroboam begins to do that which is evil, and he ordained a feast in the 8th month on the 15th day of the month. Well, that's the correct day. Likened it to the feast that was in Judah that he offered upon the altar, and so did he in Bethel, sacrificing the calves that he had made. And he placed in Bethel the priest of the high places, which he had made, and he offered upon the altar which he had made in Bethel on the 15th day of the 8th month. See, it should have been 7th month, ladies and gentlemen. But see, Jeroboam was positioning him. He didn't mind the times. You say, well, times ain't important. Well, right here's a perfect example that you better get the time right. For your feast fellowships and things of this nature in your sabbaths, you better get on the line, and you better make your election and calling sure, because you're going to have to give an account. Not only for the times that you miss, but every idle word that you speak. So you've got to get about your father's business, ladies and gentlemen. And you must, now, we're going to go to a very strange scripture. We think it's necessary to read it to you tonight. And we're going into 2 Samuel chapter 7. This is God's promise to the man, David, that we just talked about, that had the 10 northern kingdoms rebel against him and his son. And then they separated themselves from Judah. Now you say, well, Pastor Buddy, you see, now Israel over there, that's all Israel. That's God's chosen people, the Jews. You know, ladies and gentlemen, we have been slammed. My good friend Charlie would say, we've been body slammed with the gospel of error. You mean you can err in the gospel? Yeah. Mm-hmm. You can err. The Bible said there's a way that seems right, but the end thereof is death. And to a blind people without a shepherd, man, we ain't going nowhere fast, ladies and gentlemen, except into the ditch, and that's where we've been for the last 2,520 years, as far as the spiritual aspect of knowing who we are. Now, we've become a mighty nation, the dust of the earth, and things of this nature. We have all the patents practically. We have turned this world into a showcase of technology. If the suppressing kings of the earth right now would give us all of that, the technology that's been invented, everybody today this would be paradise. We wouldn't have to work. You would have free energy. Everything would be free. There'd be no taxes, burdens, and things of this nature, and they wouldn't be 3% holding 97% of the wealth, which is tremendously, ladies and gentlemen. Something's wrong here. Something's rotten in Denmark, and we need to examine the truth and find out. This is in the 10th verse of 2 Samuel chapter 7. Listen as I read. Moreover, now here's the promise. He's going to scatter the seed, the 10 tribes. Now, he gives this promise to David. He actually tells David this before that David dies. See, David didn't know that Solomon had went a-whoring after strange flesh. We'll read that just in a minute and show you why that the kingdom was rent from his possession, because he did not walk upright before God. And the Bible says in the 2 Kings scriptures, if you would like to go there and read for us, 1 Kings, rather, chapter 11. Let me read it to you so that I can set you up and build a gestalt of information here for you. But King Solomon, the one that had the 10 kingdoms rent out of his hand, the 10 nations, he led many strange women And ladies and gentlemen, this is what God said would happen in verse 11. Wherefore God said unto Solomon, for as much as you have done this, and you have not kept my covenant and my statutes which I have commanded you, I will surely rend the kingdom from you and will give it to a servant that works for you. Now, who was this servant? Jeroboam the Josephite that was there as a mighty, mighty warrior. Now, he became the champion of the ten tribes. And here, see, even before David dies, Yahweh explains the prophecies. Maybe David didn't understand it, or maybe he did. Now, why did he choose Solomon? You know, it's a strange paradox here, ladies and gentlemen. Everybody and their grandmother believes that Christ came through this bloodline of Solomon, when in actuality, he didn't. You say, Pastor Buddy, can you prove that? Mm-hmm. I can prove that he didn't come through the bloodline that is listed in the genealogy. You see, the Bible said that the birthright is not to be reckoned back to the genealogy. If you get into the genealogy, you're going to get lost like a ball in high weeds, and you're going to be blind. And that's what happened basically to Israel. Solomon had the Edomites. Man, he went after Edomite women. He just went hog wild. This man was either he was oversexed. You think maybe that he was oversexed? Well, he could have been. Hey, man, he had 1,000 women to love. The Bible said he had 1,000 women. For it come to pass that when Solomon was old, verse 4, that his wives turned away his heart after other gods, and his heart was not perfect to the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. For Solomon went after Ashtoreth, the goddess of the Zidonians, and Milcom, the abomination of the Amorites, and he did evil. He built a high place for Chemosh, the abomination of Moab, in the hill of which is before Jerusalem, and Molech, the abomination of the children of Ammon, and he burned incense and sacrificed to all these gods of the Egyptians, the Moabites, the Amorites, the Edomites, the Zirconians, the Hittites, and the Canaanites, which basically all these are Canaanite mixed up here anyway. And he had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines, and his wives turned his heart away from the covenant. You see why, ladies and gentlemen, isn't this a perfect type of why Israel is now in bondage and blind, as was blind Samson, who himself went after strange flesh, a perfect type here, Solomon, a mighty man, the wisest man until Christ. The Bible said, behold, a greater than Solomon is here. Ladies and gentlemen, he didn't fall for the crap of the Canaanites. He told them exactly where to go to in John 8:44. Read it for yourself. We'll go there just in a moment. The Edomites, the Canaanites, the Amorites, and the Moabites, and on and on and on of the goddesses and their gods. And so then, the kingdom, the ten-nation kingdom of Israel, was took away from Solomon, and only Judah remained. Now, we're going to show you that they themselves were removed later, but we're going to remove the ten tribes first, and then we'll come after Judah. Isn't that interesting, ladies and gentlemen? We got a problem here that many people today have been deceived. Most of us Israelites, I know I was. I preached the Judeo-politically correct, I guess, agenda. It was just something natural for me. It just seemed like so natural to believe that the Jews was God's chosen people because of the wordings of the scriptures and how that they have put the text in there almost to deceive the very elect. Moreover, I will appoint verse 10, 2 Samuel chapter 7. This is one of the most important scriptures for the disbursement, the proof of the disbursement, and the proof that they'll never come back to the sandbox. You say, oh, Pastor Buddy, the Bible says, glory to God, that God's people in the last days will come back to Palestine and they'll possess land. That's what you think. And that's what a lot of imposters are now deceiving the people, claiming that they are Jews, and they are not. They're liars. Man, we've got a problem here. The magnitude of this problem is overflowing. It is just incredible at the magnitude and the height, the depth, and the breadth of this deception. And all of it is because we have been lulled to sleep as a lost and a hidden people for over 2,500 and approximately 20 years. We're coming up on V-Day, victory. We're coming up on our day, release. We're going to get us some glasses, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to be able to see. In the last days, thou shall arise prophets, teachers, preachers that will come out of Jacob, out of Israel, and will awaken the people according to the scriptures of Romans chapter 11 verses 25-26. Moreover, I will appoint a place for my people. Now, this is before the disbursement. This is before the 10 tribes are rent from the hands of Solomon. I will appoint a place for my people Israel, not Judah. See, they were to go separate ways. At least they were to leave at separate times, and that's exactly what happened. I will appoint a place for my people Israel and will plant them. Plant them. I will remove them, as it said, to the west. Isn't that amazing? Man, what a mighty God we serve. How this prophetic. He knew from the beginning what the end result's going to be. He knew that they'd be blind. He knew they'd be lost. He knew that they'd wander as the heathen. He knew that they would go out from him and break his laws and covenants and statutes and commandments. He knew that they would depart, but he also prophesied that in the last days that there would be an awakening, and by the leadership of the prophets, they would return to his covenant. Oh, my, I can't wait for the explosion of the latter-day rain when Yahweh shall fill the whole earth with the knowledge of what I'm teaching on tonight. My people Israel, I will plant them, and they will dwell in a place of their own. Now, can you see them wandering through the Caucasus Mountains, murmuring, complaining, just as they did as they left Egypt and missed the onions and the garlic and the cucumbers and the things that they were hooked on down there, as the father tried to take them to a land of milk and honey, a place where it would take two men to carry a cluster of grapes out of that land as the spies went in to see it. It was an awesome land. It was blessed beyond measure. But the Canaanites dwelled in the land, and also the giants, remnants of offspring that were from the days of Noah. God said, kill them and remove them. I'll send in the hornets and the bees to drive them out before you, and you possess the land. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we'll come back in the second half and tell you just exactly where we believe Israel, the lost children, have gone to. Again, we're coming back in 2 minutes. Praise Yahweh. This is Pastor Buddy and the Shepherd's Call. We're glad to have you in here with us tonight. Praise Yahweh. I want you to look again at this 10th verse. I am amazed here how people overlook the Word of God and how that they take for granted the tradition of things that they have been taught or the things that seems right. Now, notice this. They said, moreover, I will appoint a place for my people Israel and will plant them, and they will dwell in a place of their own and move no more. I want you to underline, move no more. Underline, emphasize, exclamation point, they shall move no more. Now, verse 12 is the prophetic utterance that the prophet is giving David here. This is God's promise to David in the 7th chapter of the 2 Samuel. This is Nathan doing the prophesying here. Verse 12, and when your days be fulfilled, you will sleep with your fathers. I will set up your seed after you, which shall proceed out of your bowels, and I will establish his kingdom. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I want you to know this is very interesting here. Let's go over to Zechariah chapter 10. Zechariah in the gospel. Chapter 10, I'm going to start at verse 6. I will strengthen the house of Judah. I will save the house of Joseph. I will bring them again to place them. Now remember, when he places them, they're not going to move no more, ladies and gentlemen. They're going to combine together to one stick. Now, there is a people in the sandbox now that say they are Jews but don't have no bloodline. They admit that they're Khazars. Or Khazars, Ashkenazis, unscripturally, they are not bloodline descendants from Shem. Shem is the one that's got the covenant promise here, the Shemites. And then they call you anti-Semitic if you speak out against this deceit. You see, maybe they are honest. Maybe they really think that they got the birthright. But they don't now. It's just a fact that they, even if they were true blue Jews, the Jews don't have any birthright promise. The birthright was to go to Joseph. And so it's the Josephites who are God's chosen, and we know, I've proven this time and time again here on Truth, and I'm willing to debate it with any pastor, teacher, prophet, that'll come on the scene here, that David was not a Jew. David was an Ephraimite. And so then, the scriptures are verifying just exactly what I have predicted all along, that Christ himself, the one that is prophesied in 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 12, out of his bowels, I will establish David, I will raise up a Messiah or a Savior, a Redeemer or an inheritor of everything that I have promised you. It will be fulfilled in him when he comes. He will set the record straight. Well, did he? Yes, he did. What was he called? A Nazarite. Yes. A Nazarene. Yes. A Galilean. Did he say he's out of Judah? Nope. No, he didn't. I'm sorry, he didn't say it. That was a great controversy where this man was from. Even in the days that he was on the earth 2,000 years ago, there was a controversy. I will strengthen the house of Judah and save the house of Israel, Joseph. I will bring them again to place them, for I will have mercy upon them, and they shall be as though I had not cast them off. For I am Yahweh, their God, and I will hear them. Ah, man, this is when they are now moving out of the land. Remember, Israel, the 10 northern tribes, were deported from this sandbox region. This is just a springboard, ladies and gentlemen. He's going to take them east, west, north, and south. They're going to scatter as the best of the earth and become a mighty nation without any identity. But they shall become identity preachers, in the last days that will come forth and preach and bring and restore the knowledge back to the sheep. and he or she will hear their voice. Notice here, verse 7, and they of Ephraim shall be like a mighty man. Ladies and gentlemen, the sons of Ephraim, these Ephraimmen, they are cavalrymen. They are soldiers of the king's inheritance gardens. They are guards of the sacred covenant that Jacob had when he slept on the stone at Bethel in Bethlehem Ephratah, now Bethlehem Judea. Therefore, we've got the proof in the scriptures that the Jews are not God's chosen people, but rather that the chosen people are blind people. Amazing. Now, he told us, you know, and warned us, he said, if the blind fall of the blind, what's going to happen? We're going to the ditch. Well, you know how sheep are. We don't know nothing. We're dumb. I mean, they've just worked us like putty for the last 2,520 years, but that time's up, ladies and gentlemen. When we get on to it, we're on to it, and we'll change the way things are. Yea, their children shall see. Oh, my, there it is. Verse 7 of Zechariah 10, look at it. And the Ephraim shall be like a mighty man, and their heart shall rejoice as through wine. I'm happy as I can be tonight preaching this gospel. Don't have anything, but I'm happy. I bought the truth. The truth has made me free. I don't have to go hunting anymore. I don't have to bow down and play flick and fiddle anymore. I know who I am by the divine grace of God I see. That's what it says here. Their children shall see it and be glad, and their heart shall rejoice in Yahweh. Verse 8, I like this one. I will hiss. I will hiss for them. Come over here. Open up the eyes. See who you are here. Lord, I'm just a dumb Gentile. I'm over here behind the wheat shop thrashing my wheat. I'm afraid that the enemy's going to take all of my substance here. Have to pay taxes, Lord. Have to do all these things. Have to pay usury, Lord. I just don't have enough to make ends meet, Lord. I'm the caboose on the totem pole here. I'm the tail and not the head. Well, did I not say that you would be the tail? If you would break my laws and my statutes, I'll hiss for you. I will gather them. Oh, hallelujah. I have redeemed them, and they shall increase as they have increased. And I will sow them among the people, and they shall remember me in the far country. Woo! Hallelujah! And they shall live with their children and turn again. What's this turn again? Turn to me, not return to the sandbox, as some people have read into that scripture. They shall turn to me and live. They shall return to the old path. They shall return to the covenant, not to the sandbox. For it says here in 2 Samuel 7:10, they will be moved no more. The mighty nation of the United States, Ephraim, I preach it, I teach it, I challenge anybody that's got anything different to come on. Bring it on. We'll show you where Ephraim went. The stones and the crown lifted up as an ensign upon the land. We know, for we see as the flock of his people. He's going to strengthen us, and Ephraim shall be like a mighty man. Ladies and gentlemen, they'll speak the truth. And that's what I'm preaching tonight. I am laying a trail. I am blazing a trail. I'm coming on here for the first time that I know of any prophet and teaching you that Christ was not a Jew and proving it. I don't have to hunt for the scriptures. I know where they're at. I'm proving that Christ was not genetically a Jew. He was an Ephraimite. He was a Jebusite. He was in line for the birthright. Had he been anything else, he wouldn't have qualified for the birthright. He had to be a Jebusite. as was the king that led the ten kingdoms into exile, where the Father promised that they would go. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we are in Ground Truth Zero. We are at the time of the awakening. And ladies and gentlemen, we are to be a nation that will bless all of the other nations. And there are geographical aspects to this doctrine tonight that I would like to share with you, that Israel was to have a new home. I didn't give you that one, 2 Samuel 7:10. Israel's new land is to be inhabited by people gathered from many nations. Ezekiel 38:8. Remember, they would go west, and when they crossed the Caucasus Mountains, they went into the British Isles, they went into Germany, France, and into Italy and Spain, they went into the Netherlands, they went into Denmark, as far up north as the North Pole. They went north, they went south, but they especially went west, where that has established now unwalled villages without walls, bars, or gates, as it says in Ezekiel 38:11, and they were to have a great agricultural wealth in Deuteronomy 28:8-11. That's the blessing pact chapter where he said, if you do this, I'll make you the head and not the tail. And you shall lend to many nations and borrowing from none. Deuteronomy 15:6. You shall lend and not borrow. Did you know that the dollar is recognized? I don't know. I mean, it may be an evil dollar, but there's a lot of people in love with them. It is the most trusted piece of money on earth, and they've got one drop of gold to back it up. I reckon they have. I think they've done away with all the gold standards. Isn't that amazing? Praise Yahweh. Isn't it amazing, ladies and gentlemen, that we are in a time that the Father prophesied years and years ago that this would happen, that the geographical aspects of Israel was to have a great agricultural land, and the United States feeds the world. You know, I mean, they pay us not to raise food. Farmers are paid not to put out their crops because we flood the world market and drive down the food. You see, penny could be bought for a penny a bushel if we would produce or turn this nation loose and its agricultural blessings. Only one nation has been able to do that. We've had to feed Red China. They can't feed themselves. Russia, they can't feed themselves. And a lot of the European nations can't feed themselves. And of course the third rate nations of Mexico and down through the Latin American countries, we have fed and clothed and lend, and it's amazing. Ladies and gentlemen, when God says abundance, he goes overboard. Israel and the land was described as being the camp of the saints. Revelation 20:7-9. Now, Israel was to have a people that would be saved by Yahweh. Jeremiah 31:7. That's a great one. Read it. Israel was to be a light to all the world in Isaiah 49:3-6. Israel was to be the only nation given God's law. Now, you say, Pastor Buddy, God loves everybody. He said, go only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. That's what he said now. But notice now what is happening here in Psalms 147. I'd just like to read it to you to let you know exactly what God promised. Verse 19, he showeth his word unto Jacob. Now, ladies and gentlemen, his word is only shown to Jacob. His statutes and his judgments unto Israel. He hath not dealt with any other nation, and as for his judgments, they have not known them. Praise ye Yahweh. Hallelujah. And no wonder he said, go on into the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Now, the prophet Isaiah spoke of a time in the future when the eyes of those who see would not be blinded. Remember, there's always been a remnant to keep their eyes toward heaven or the Father's truth. And except Yahweh had left us a remnant, we would have all been as Sodom and Gomorrah, and the ears of those who will hear and listen, and the mind of the hasty will discern truth. Isaiah 32, verses 3 and 4. Read it for yourself. I will be a remnant that will always stand before him. Now, the Bible didn't say that Israel was blind totally. It said blindness in part. There had to be a remnant left for God to worship before him and to keep this little remnant before him, as because he had been prophesied, as long as the sun and the moon remained in heaven, so would Israel remain before him to minister a covenant promise. Well, ladies and gentlemen, the Bible said blindness in part has happened to Israel. Oh, it's amazing, ladies and gentlemen, how God's word is so forever settled and nothing can be added to it, and certainly nothing taken away. Now, I better hurry and wrap this up for you. I've got so much to bring to you that I just ain't going to have time tonight to get it all in. So we'll continue tomorrow night in the aspects of where are the children. Praise Yahweh. Well, what is it that the Father said? I will hiss for them. I will hiss for them in the last days. I will pour out my spirit. In the latter shall be a greater outpouring than there was on the day of Pentecost in the former rain. The latter rain is going to be greater, and I just can't wait. I am so excited tonight that Israel is coming alive. You can see a stirring in the nest of the eagle, and the young eaglets are coming up and taking a peek out from under the blindness of the cover and the traditions of the world. Oh my, how sweet it is. God is going to have a new covenant plan for Israel. Praise Yahweh. And we are going to become a mighty, mighty, mighty people in the last days. Yeah, we're going to have trouble. Yep. You see, the enemy is not going to give up their... See, they stole this. They stole the birthright. That's what they've done. They killed the inheritor. The one that came for it, they killed him. Well, he said if they do this in a green tree, what do you think they're going to do in a dry tree? If they've hated me, they're going to hate you. Ladies and gentlemen, this is self-evident that we are to bring about in the last days, as it is written in Isaiah 49 and 12, Israel's home is to be north, northwest of Palestine. Northwest. Isaiah 49 and 12 and Jeremiah 3:18. Let's see what Jeremiah 3:18 says. Praise Yahweh. And see if that is the legacy or the prophecy that will create a legacy for us or a heritage that we might look back and say, praise be unto God, for in those days the house of Judah shall walk with the house of Israel. Why? And they shall come together out of the land of the north. Woo! Praise Yahweh. To the land that I have given them for an inheritance unto your fathers. But I said, how shall I put thee among the children and give thee a pleasant land and a goodly heritage? You call me my father. There is a generation of identity people that's now calling Yahweh Father. He's not a God. We got a Father. Oh my, we are on the prowl. But surely as a wife treacherously departeth from her husband, so have you dealt treacherously with me, O house of Israel, saith Yahweh. Oh my, A voice was heard upon the high places, weeping and supplications of the children of Israel, for they have perverted their way, and they have forgotten the Lord their God. Return to me, backsliding Israel. Behold, we come unto thee, for thou art the Lord our God. But truly in vain is salvation hoped for from the hills, and from the multitude of bound for 2,520 years we have laid down in shame and confusion, and we have covered our faces with the veil of ignorance, fear, superstition, and stupidity to fulfill the promise of dumb sheep. But boy, there's going to be hallowed ground coming when we come back to God, when we begin to walk with him at the last day, as it says here in verse 18, in those days, this is those days. Woo! Glory! We are in the day when the house of Israel and the house of Judah shall be reunited as a people. You say, well, what about the Jews over there, the God's chosen people? Ladies and gentlemen, I have done told you that it came to pass through the lightness of her whoredom that she defiled the land and committed adultery with stones and with stocks. And for all this, her treacherous sister Judah hath not turned unto me with her whole heart, but fidgetedly, saith Yahweh. For Yahweh said unto me, the backsliding Israel hath justified herself more than treacherous Judah. Judah is very treacherous. If you'll read Revelations 2 and 9 and 3 and 9, you might get the rest of the story, ladies and gentlemen. It's Pastor Buddy's trying to pass on that. Well, I got to get out of here, ladies and gentlemen. Let me give you my mailing address if you'd like to write me. Simply write Pastor Buddy at Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824. If you'd like to call me tonight, just simply pick up your phone and call area code 423-626-2172. That's area code 423-626-2172. After the broadcast, I'll be available for your call. We appreciate those that do call. We appreciate the love offerings that we get. We appreciate the support. We need your help. We'd like to take this and acknowledge it throughout all the earth. We're not ashamed of the gospel of the Mighty One, our Savior, Yahweh Yeshua in the flesh body, when he came to wake us up in the last days and return us or restore us to the heritage, and these things that's been withheld or stolen from us will now have to be given back. We'll see you in the morning at 7 a.m. on Truth Radio again. Listen for us there. Praise Yahweh. Bless you, Jacob Israel, and find yourself tonight.
Thank you for listening to the Shepherd's Call, live on Truth Radio. We hope you'll join us each evening from 8 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on this same station. Praise Yahweh.